not bad. So let's have a chat about being memorable, because it is really important. It's come up a lot just in the last few days.
Yeah.
And something that I think so many software companies lack is, you know, you would have experienced this many, many times, is a presentation that's been shown to you. And I think before you walked out the room, you've forgotten it. I mean, that is
absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah. Just so dull that everything just blends into one. And it's even worse if you've got a conference full of them, you know, five of them in a row. Then you start to blur one to the other because they're just so unmemorable, forgettable.
Yeah. And I think there's definitely a problem there which people need to be aware of, first of all. And I think that actually is an issue, because I've seen companies that are giving presentations and work in the same way year after year, and they don't know they've got a problem. They don't know that what they're doing is just not working. It's not memorable.
It's often bringing in enough business to survive, isn't it? Let's be blunt about it. It's the fact that they're going okay, or they're surviving as a company. But what we're really focused on is those companies that have ambition and want to grow fast.
Do you think
what they do is something different?
As the scientist, do you think this is an example of classical conditioning? You know, when they do it with the pigeon and getting the reward. First of all, the pigeon gets the reward every time. And then after a while, it can be 100 times or 200 times. As long as there is a reward occasionally, the pigeon will keep doing the same behavior.
Keep doing it. Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly that sort of thing. As long as I get enough, I'll keep doing it. And there's no sort of pause and go, could it be better? Could I get a reward every time if I stop doing this and demand something or change something that I'm doing? Yes, pigeon brained.
We could call it that. We could call it pigeon brain behavior.
Syndrome.
We'll come up with the phrase of that one. But I mean, it is a serious problem. Many years ago, and this was at sort of the early stages of the internet, but it told me an important lesson, was that I brought a consultant in from one of the big consultancies. I shouldn't mention which one it is, actually. It depends how many people listen to this. And there was a very exciting, innovative company that I wanted them to see. And he was supposed to be their expert in this area. And they gave him this presentation, which was too techie and went on for too long. It was about 2.5-3 hours with conversation.
Whoa. 2.5-3 hours.
It did go on. But I mean, I was fascinated by it. What they were doing was very clever. Yeah. But it was right in the early stages when people were talking about browsers and being able to access, you know, solutions via browsers. And this consultant asked a few questions, but he didn't say a lot. And on the way out, I walked out with him. And he said to me, "Mark, you see, I've got to ask you a question." He said, "What's a browser?"
Oh, God.
And I thought...
I mean, the level of understanding. Did he walk out with less than he walked in with? I mean, that's one of our classics, isn't it?
Oh.
I thought I understood this until I heard your presentation, and now I'm utterly confused and bewildered. Yeah.
I thought, if he doesn't understand what a browser is, how much of that last 3 hours has been worthwhile? God. And how much will he remember? And that's...
Oh, God, none. None. No. Without comprehension, without understanding, you're not going to get the neural networks laid down that are part of long-term memory.
That is such an important aspect, is you must have understanding, because the way that you remember things is you create a visual image of things.
Yes, you model the world, and they're often visual. There's very few people who do not have visual models in their heads. It's just a scientific fact.
So if there's not really good understanding, you won't create that visual model in your head.
No.
And you won't remember it. So 20 minutes later, that information is fading fast.
I mean, the purpose of that presentation should have been that chap walked out. As soon as the word browser came up, their version of a browser was lodged in his head.
Yes.
So it's their locking into that guy's mind exactly what a browser is, what's it look like, what's it do for him, what's the emotional connection to it. If they fail to do that, then 3.5 hours is just wasted on all sides.
And people, quite often, they don't put their hand up when they don't understand something.
Oh, God, no. Not in a business meeting, though.
Yeah.
Some will. That's just psychology, yeah.
But
You would. Definitely.
I would, yes, I would. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't mind looking for
you
this
like
shit.
Good questions, that's your nature. But
yeah. But a lot of people won't. And I think that is really can be quite devastating, really. If the company presenting really knew within an audience, say they're presenting to 100 people, you know, and 70% of them don't know what a browser is, or they've missed some point, or they overload them with information of the detail. That's another aspect, isn't it? You get to the stage where they just get, I'm overloaded, I can't take on anymore, I'm shutting down.
Well, the irony is we'll increase the understanding by telling them everything. You know, if they know everything, then the understanding goes up exponentially. Quite the reverse. There's a limit, a cognitive overload limit. And just to come back to the point about what are these 70% of the audience feeling, one of the underlying psychological issues of that is you may actually be making them feel stupid because the inability to ask the question, and then they think, well, am I stupid? If that's the impression you want to leave most of your audience, try not, you know, the understanding has got to be there.
Yes.
You've got to convey that understanding.
And the understanding will be enhanced by having a story, something that somebody can follow. There's an event, a series of events that hold together.
Yes.
There's also that will be enhanced by the visual imagery that you associate with the points, and also by using conversational English.
Yes, that's a huge one. Huge one. The attempt. We often write business language, and then only when we explain it to a friend or a colleague does the actual better explanation drop out in the conversation.
What do we mean by business language?
Oh, it's the technical language, and it's the books books that drive business initiatives, and it's the marketing language, you know, best of breed, etc., etc. It's all those difficult, exclusive terms.
What's the thing that we hear more often than not when it comes to their reason for using technical language?
That's a good one. Have you got an answer to that?
I've heard it. I think most companies do it. Yes, but we're talking to very technical
people. Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes, of course. But our target audience is this guy, and he just wants to know the details. Okay. So he's not a human being then?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think because they're technical, it doesn't necessarily mean that they understand that. And it definitely doesn't mean that they only want to have the technical information. And also, you don't want to give them that detailed information at the beginning of the conversation with the technical person. Because you've got to give them the bigger context in which that
information... Tell them your story. You know, they'll thrive on that story. If you put it into context, connect to them as a human being, they'll love that. They'll see it for what it is. As long as it isn't all the marketing fluff and the, you know, best of breed, and if you're having a conversation with them, they'll remember you for that.
Those things that really do stick in our mind, the things that help our memory is, obviously, as we've said, it being visual, but also if that visual is in colour, that visual is also moving, that can help.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think if you've not overloaded the person, I think if that new information can be attached to something that they already know,
absolutely.
Or you give them the space so that they can overlay their future desired outcomes onto the canvas solution that you present them.
Yes. And you don't have to paint the complete picture.
No.
Let them fill the rest of the picture in.
There is an art to that.
They'll feel more affinity to you because they'll assume you're painting the same picture as them. And that's powerful. That triggers very powerful, strong connections.
What was that experiment that you were telling me about just recently that really changed a lot of people's thinking about the amount of information that can be retained? It's quite extraordinary, the power of the brain.
Yes, it was. It was a scientific study where they showed 2,500 pictures to a bunch of candidates, and then only a few hours later asked them to select the one they'd seen from one they'd actually never seen in a few seconds. And literally, they'd go through these 2,500 images, and it was a 92% accuracy. So in other words, you could pick the one that you'd seen from the one that you hadn't at 92% accuracy. Incredible. But that's because the visual processing and the memory centers around it is so powerful. It's one of the aspects of being a human being that's evolved over centuries, millennia, hundreds of thousands of years. So
yes. So yes.
We're a very visual animal.
Absolutely. And that's been part of our survival mechanism, is to be able to recognize visual situations, for instance, danger, a visual danger, in fractions of a second.
Yes.
Yeah, ability to do that with words is nowhere near as advanced. And I think that's what a lot of people forget. So much of the information I see from software companies is word-based with, well, like the word diagrams that I talk about, but also just just clip art and stock imagery that doesn't really advance the story or helps to further communicate. It's used to prettify the page or break up the text.
It is exactly that. It doesn't speak to almost your signature, your own personality. Images should support the sort of story of you. They should reflect your personality. And you should always try and pick images that continue to give that message visually to support understanding in your prospect.
Yes. And I think if you understand the way that the brain works and how that you can use this in your communication, it can make the difference between success and failure.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Because the software sector is competitive, very competitive, and it's getting more competitive. And it's not going to change.
There's not going to
be less competition because there's an awful lot of money, you know, as the world turns digital. And if you think about it, if a company reaches out to five organizations, but it's yours that they remember.
Yes.
What an advantage that is.
Huge advantage.
Yeah.
Not a me too. I mean, if you think about the kind of websites we see regularly, Mark, it's all about the same hero images at the top of the website. It's often the same colors. It's the same stock images. Who's going to remember anyone from those?
No. Land and me too. I think something we often come up with is our feedback. But if you get it right, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
So being memorable is really important.
Absolutely.